Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Ruby and Christina from Lovecraft Country. I don't know if you've seen it, but there was a particularly interesting episode that involved body swaps. So I shipped them in the most fucked up way because I think they're both kind of villains. And they're both maybe not villains. It's confusing. But I ship them, and shout out to them. They should be gay.
Okay, so I got to catch up on Lovecraft is what I'm hearing.
Yes, the fuck you do.
What up, Cabrona?
What's poppin', Chingona? What's good?
Bruh, another city, nothing, right? Another nothing. Hotel, another shithole decision by the courts, you know, just some shittiness all around. But I'm like staying surprisingly positive.
What?
Yeah.
You're not in full like the shit is on fire mode, because that's where I am. I'm just like, I don't even care anymore. I'm just like depressed and trying to get my passport for Mexico, my double citizenship.
It's serious.
Dead ass. Me and Glo are gonna get it. We're gonna, in our emergency, we have to flee from a country mode, you know, just like Canada. Everyone's talking shit about Canada, but I'm like, okay, but you don't understand, universal healthcare is like a real thing that's an issue in the United States. So I'd rather go somewhere else that actually has it. You know, I'm like, y'all don't understand. Fuck that. I'm broke because of my bills. So I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to Canada.
I've been on the Canada train. How. I've been practicing my accent. What about you?
What about you? That's all you got to know how to say, honestly. A boot. And what's that? I'm down to eat some mayo.
Love donuts. Donuts. See? I know how to bribe somebody. Donuts. Just give them donuts. So that's according to how many.
Donuts.
And I just got to get really into hockey. That's it. And get some heavy coats. I've seen Letterkenny. I'm good.
You're good. Like, hockey, what do they do? Like, it's white guys beating each other up. I'm down to watch that. Like,
I've beaten white guys
up. White on white crime.
It's fine.
I mean, I can put mayo on my fries. I'm down. Like, I don't give a fuck.
I've never heard that. I thought mayo was an American thing.
No. Was it poutine or poutine? I don't know.
That's gravy.
Poutine. Yeah.
That's gravy. That. Yeah. Fries and gravy, which as a Texan, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I'm down. Like, we dip everything in gravy on this side, so I'm down. So Canada is looking real cute. I know that they're just as bad at everything else, but let's face it, we have a lot of privileges. We Canada might be fine.
Like, here's the thing, we keep talking about, God, like, no. Canada doesn't, like, they're not gonna accept us, probably not yet. Let things get a little worse, then we might be able to like apply for asylum. I don't know.
Well, that's why I'm doing apply for asylum. Fuck, that's too real, dude. But that's why I want to get my Mexican passport, because I thought they were making it easy for you to be Mexican and go to Canada. That's why I want to get my double citizenship for Mexico. So that I can dip to Canada with my Mexican passport, you know?
I don't know, man. I'm about to go wife up some Canadians. What's up, yes. Tinder passport?
Man, shout out to that, man. I mean, it sucks that Glo's not Canadian, man. I would have, like, a pass right now. We're fucked. I mean, we are, like, you know, shit might get crazy here. And if we get married, it might not even matter, which would be the only reason we're doing it, is to protect each other. But I don't know how much longer that's going to be legal. So, yay, fun times in America. Woo. I mean, not America, the United States of America, because America is this entire continent.
Not North America, not South America, but here.
Yeah. United States of bougie, fucked up. I hate this place. It's burning. But yeah.
So
besides RBG passing away and us being fucked, you know what? Strangely enough, you know what's keeping me happy right now is SZA.
Yeah.
My wife, SZA, she came out with Hit Different, and she has that outro of Good Days, and I just I bought the video just so I could hear that part of the song on a loop. Like, I play it every day, and it gets me through it. I'm like, yes, it's a good day. I went outside, and I saw some sun. Me too, SZA. That's all I care about is me, and I got some sunlight, and that's what's keeping me going right now. So, shout out to my baby mama, SZA.
Dude, I'm rocking a hard beige right now.
Ooh, look at you.
I'm outside every single day, like several hours a day. It's absolutely nuts. Maybe that's why I've been so positive. Just got like mad vitamin D right now. I don't know.
Dude, honestly, they said it makes you happier. So, I think that's what it is. Good, man, shout out to that.
Yeah, I got
it. And you're getting like a shade. You're turning a color.
I got like a three day break where I was back at home for like 3 days, and I don't know, I had a really good like 3 days. It was nice. And then like, I don't know, it's just been like, I've been trying to just be like, there are good things and these are the good things.
There's something to live for, like.
Yeah,
dude. Yeah, I think we all need that right now. We just need something to live for. And, like, I don't know. Spoopy season is going to be just... I mean, it already started. It's already horrifying. This whole year has been spoopy season. So I don't know if I can handle...
Dude, I was watching Utopia, this, like, new show on Amazon Prime. And it was obviously created before the pandemic, but it's about, like, predicting a pandemic.
Oh, it's no. So,
they have like they have these like alerts, or at least like, you know, the warnings at the beginning of shows. They have that, but it's like the pandemic like referenced in this show does not have anything to do with, you know what I mean? Like, they have like these like disclaimers, and it was just like really trippy to watch that whole show. And it's also really dark if you're into like comics and into like hard violence and stuff like that. Like, watch this, it's really weird.
I'm down. I mean, I think I renewed my Amazon, so if you want to use that, you can use it again.
I have a new Amazon Prime host, so
you have a new plug. Okay. Okay.
Did you see that, like, damn, there's this thing going around Netflix where, not Netflix, going on around Twitter of this person who, like, got a man who has a Netflix account, so, like, they got rid of their account, and they sent, like, this long note to all of the people that use their Netflix, like, I'm so sorry, thank you for being a great, like, tenant to my Netflix, and, you know, you'll have to, good luck on your next host, and I was like, damn, I'd be hopping around hosts a lot, though, so it's like, whatever.
I mean, yeah, I feel that. I, as someone who is always the kind of host of things, I'm okay with that. I don't give a shit. Like, more power to everybody, because I get it. Like, everyone can jump on this. Like, I gave my HBO account to, like, everyone. I have one called Community. I'm just like, look, it's for everybody. It's called Community. Just don't fuck up my, like, you know, what is it? My algorithm on my HBO account. Yeah, just don't use yours. Good. As long as y'all stay on... Yeah, stay on Community, leave me out of it, you know? So I'm all about the community and giving back. So
my Hulu host has a HBO add-on. It's so luxurious. But yeah,
Utopia's okay, been bougie lifestyle.
I also watched The Boys season 2, which it's like weekly. Oh. It's coming out weekly, which is kind of weird. I gotta say, so far I like the first season a lot more. That's also if you're into comics, but you want it to be a little more real, a little more edgy. And that the second season, I will say, it's kind of funny because they talk about representation in a sort of meta way, you know?
Nope.
because they're, like, making a you know, I don't know, they're trying to, like, have a certain appearance. And if you haven't seen the show already, you're not going to understand what the fuck I'm talking about. But it's, like, them trying to appear a certain way. So, yeah, I mean, it's still really a dark look at what superheroes would be like in real life, which is, like, shitty people who, you know, like, don't actually care about anybody but themselves, you know, just like everybody else. So it's fun.
So it's kind of like Watchmen if, like, it wasn't so dark and serious, if it was, like, a comedy,
No, The
right?
Boys is dark, but it's, I guess it's, like, it's a little more funny, but still in a dark way, you know? Yeah.
Oh, okay. My dad loves that show.
The Boys? So. Yeah. Yes. That's so funny.
But it's random. Yeah. Shout out to that old man.
I wish it was a little gayer. It does have like some good stuff in there though.
Ooh. Dude, I've been so out of my element watching straight people things, but the straight people things that I do choose to watch are not straight white people. So I feel like that's like I don't know, it's I can stand watching it. And plus, like, this was like the gayest straight movie I've ever watched, because they literally just yearned and longed for each other and didn't make a move the entire movie.
Oh my god, you're describing my life, but go on.
Oh shit. Well then, I don't know, but it was beautifully done. It's Wong Kar-wai's, I honestly probably his masterpiece, In the Mood for Love.
Oh,
I bought the Netflix. Yes, it's on HBO. Oh,
never mind, I'm thinking of something else.
It's on HBO now. Yeah, no, that's there's another In the Mood for Love, but there's this one's on HBO now, or whichever Max. HBO Max. Yeah, but I bought the Criterion like a bougie bitch before the pandemic. Like right at the beginning I bought it, and I never watched it. I don't know, I feel like it's a movie you do have to pay attention. It is set in Hong Kong. It does actually have like Asian people in it, like, wow, like, what? And they're not speaking English. I mean, it's beautiful. I really want to watch more of his movies as everything continues on in the world. I don't really want to watch, like, if I'm gonna watch straight people, I'm gonna make sure that they're gay as fuck. And these people were gay as fuck. Like, they literally just yearned and longed the entire time, and I was just like, this is some like Portrait of a Lady on Fire if no one made a move. Straight and gay. Like, they're straight gay people, so it was really good. And oh dude, did you hear about Barry Jenkins directing Lion King 2?
Yeah, and I'm just like, what? Like, get that's that bag. Cool. That's great. I understand. But like, I thought like that Lion King, the first live action, was a flop, wasn't it? Am I wrong about that?
I didn't even watch exactly. It, so I haven't watched any remakes other than Mulan, which
oh my god, that was not the greatest. Not
you watched it?
I watched it. Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Can we talk about it? Yeah. still bisexual energy up the walls.
Yes. Yes, but between her and the other lady.
Yeah. That was crazy. Oh, that was not bisexual energy. That was lesbian energy if I ever saw
it. Dude, they were in love. The whole time I was just yelling at the screen, "Now kiss." Like, "Now kiss, now kiss, now kiss," nothing. I got nothing out of it. I was so upset.
Yeah. It was kind of cool though. Or that part was. Yeah, it was not the greatest. I think people definitely are like talking about it like it's way worse than it is, but it's not good.
it's not I mean, also I didn't realize how tied I was emotionally to the original Mulan.
I did.
And when I look, I don't know how I didn't know this about myself, but duh, I see it in retrospect, but like when I saw Ming-Na on the screen, like I lost my shit. I was like, it should have still just been her. Like, I would have watched her do all of this. Like, fuck everyone else, I don't give a shit. Ming-Na is like an artist and she's still gorgeous to this day. Yeah. And I'm like, why couldn't she be the lead? Because I would have given y'all $60 for her to do the exact same shit.
They spent like $5 jillion on that one movie, making all those old white dudes look young. I mean, exactly. Supply a little bit here and she can be Mulan. It's good. It's fine.
I mean, not even. She's still beautiful.
There needs a lot less like money aged. To do that.
A lot less. You couldn't. No need to de-age. She didn't age. It's like Lucy Liu being fine to this day. Like, the woman did not age.
Oh
like,
my god, I just saw Lucy Liu in a new movie that was awful.
It was bad?
It was awful. It was an awful film, but it was playing at the drive-in, and it was a double feature, Stage Mother and Broken Hearts Gallery. Broken Hearts Gallery was a lot better. As Stage Mother was awful. But of course I watched it because it's about drag queens.
Of course. So you got to, like, fuck that, do it. I mean, Lucy Liu lives in my mind rent free. Like, and her lesbian art. It lives in my mind for free, just all the time. It's always there. I think of her and Charlie's Angel. It's just, it's not even a repressed memory. I bring it to the front all the time. I just, oh, anyways, I'm standing again for nothing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, speaking of remakes, I'm kind of happy about this one, The Craft Legacy.
Excuse me? I haven't heard about this. What are you talking about?
Oh my god. We might have to stop because they're... Lovey Simone is going to be in it. She was also in Selling the Spades, I believe. Mm. And they're going to have a trans Latinx woman in
Enough.
It. And her name...
Sold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Zoe Luna Basta. Is going to be in it. Yes. Yes, dude. I'm like, wait, this is amazing. We might have to pause. I'm down for you watching this.
Oh, like the trailer? I can watch it after. Yeah. I'm excited.
Okay.
I'm excited. Check out our links, I guess, so you guys can watch it too. You know what I'm excited for?
What?
Vampires versus the Bronx.
Oh, fuck
which
yes!
Which in podcast time comes out tomorrow. So I'm fucking stoked on it. The fact that Miro is in it. Miro is like my favorite fucking podcast host in the entire world. I'm sorry, everybody that I know. And
he is.
But I love him. I fucking love him.
He's all the Latinx representation we need.
There's free Showtime at the hotel that I'm at. Yes, I've been binging Jesus and Miro. Like, dude.
For your health, dude. It's only right. You got to do it.
Yeah.
Clear skin.
So support that. It's Afro Latinx people and youth just like doing their thing, and I'm pretty sure the vampires are gentrifiers, like it's like a thing, but it's like,
ooh,
you know,
that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm stoked on it.
Oh dude, in gay news, Harley Quinn has been renewed for season 3, so
yeah,
we can totally cover it now,
dude.
Let's go.
I tried so hard and got so far. And
in the end, it did not matter.
To find it, to watch it, but I don't know, like my HBO plug, like which is added onto the Hulu, for some reason it doesn't come with that, so I haven't been able to watch it. But I'll find a way.
Do they have HBO Max?
It says HBO Max on there, but I don't think it is. I think it's just like regular HBO, you know.
Oh, just use mine.
All right, I'm a check that login later.
Yeah,
but I really want to watch it.
Log into community,
because I saw some of like the previews of the episodes and I was like, oh, this is gay
dude, like it's not even it's beautiful, and I love it. It's everything I ever wanted.
Okay,
they're gonna give you everything you want.
That's
like
what I want.
And it's not,
I love
it's,
DC,
it's earned,
you know, so it's like I'm here for it.
And one last thing I'm gonna bring up before
go ahead
is Tatiana Maslany got casted as She-Hulk, dude. Like, what? I'm so, like,
and she could probably,
anyone
like,
deserves,
you know, her ability to be a different person. Like, she's probably, you're probably, shit, she doesn't even need, like, CGI. She's going to be able to turn into the Hulk just by herself.
She just magically is going to turn green. Yeah.
She knows
how
to
well
fucking do it. Oh, I can't wait to talk about her
act
later.
Dude, she's just... If anyone deserves a role in a Marvel universe, it's fucking Tatiana Maslany.
Like, if you're gonna hire a white girl, let it be Tatiana Maslany.
Yes, the most talented white girl. Mm-hmm. Like, she just. We'll talk about it later, but she deserves it all.
That's
dude.
The exact noise. <that you're>
Oh, dude. Sorry, there's just so much representation, dude. Like, Priyanka Chopra is producing a Southeast Asian horror movie. It's called Evil Eye.
Is this Jonas?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's Priyanka Chopra.
It's Priyanka Jonas now, apparently.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
She changed her name, I guess. Mm-hmm. Oh, my bad.
You know how it is.
Yeah, when you're fake
married. I'm excited about
to your
that.
Beard.
I saw that trailer. Looks really good.
It looks mad good, so I'm hyped for it. But we'll see. I'm anything that doesn't have like white people in it, and there's that Korean American movie that's called Minari. I don't know.
24 one.
Yes, yeah. I'm hyped for everything. Everything's coming out now. Since everyone seems to not give a fuck, they're just gonna start releasing things. So I'm happy. And sorry, I just had to always talk. I just wanted to talk about that. That was just
yeah, I know for sure.
In my mind.
I'm down for it. This is kind of going to be an unorthodox episode anyways, because there's not really anything to cover right now. So we're going to do what we always do and cover a shitload of things instead.
You're just going to have to deal with it. I'm pretty sure they want this. I mean, we never give them this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do it.
It's okay. It's fine. So this episode, before we get started, is sponsored by CYC Podcast, iTunes review section. Go and leave us a review on iTunes. We made it on to, you know, the iTunes Hispanic Heritage Month thing again, which is awesome. And I'm glad that they're not, like, putting the word Hispanic in there this time. I think they're starting to get it, you know? It says, like, yep, Viva Latinx are. Now.
Yes. They figured it out. They listened. They're doing it. Which is, wow.
We're in culture and lifestyle, which I think is just because we're gay. I don't know. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I think it's the gay thing. Okay. We get points for being, like, the gay girls. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever sure. that means.
That's fine.
I'll take it. Shit.
Yeah. So please leave us a review. And if you do, hit us up in our DMs and we will mail you some stickers for your pleasure. All right, let's get started.
Five stars. Five stars
Cinco
only. Estrechas,
thank you. Perfer. Because we're so Latinx. Nomás tu base suerte. Okay.
Yeah. We Yeah. Wow. Okay. TikTok, go off. I love it. I'm starting to catch up to the children. I got a TikTok just to watch videos. I'm a lurker.
That's what TikTok is for. Yeah.
Okay. Lurking. Oh, but yeah. Anyways, I named this portion on my notes "Ships Out at Sea." I don't know.
Yeah, because it's within a sea of seasons. Stuff that you don't necessarily maybe care about, you know.
Oof. Maybe you only watch the YouTube part of their story, you know, like me,
over and over. Coming Lord. In fucking hot in first place for that shit though has got to be person of interest.
Root and Shaw.
Yes, like this is what, like 6-7 I don't even know how many fucking seasons of like 24 episode seasons was like that heavy shit, you know what I mean? Like when they used to make these like heavy ass shows with like 100 bajillion episodes. This was one of those
conservative
shows.
Network. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like somehow it was extremely like anti-government, anti-establishment. Like so I got into this show just because I kind of like procedurals, and also Taraji Henson was like in the
yes!
first season.
And Empire.
Yeah, before Empire, she, you know, she had to be taken off of the show and gone and did that. But then they introduce Samin Shaw, or just Shaw, which is what they refer to her as.
Love her.
She's played by Sarah Shahi, who formerly passed as a Latina on the L Word. Because anybody that's just a little ethnic. Brown, right? Like, that's good enough.
Shout out to a Dallas girl. Shout out to the Dallas girl.
Is she from Dallas?
Yep. She's from Bedford.
Oh,
she was a Dallas cowgirl,
barely
I think.
Dallas.
Yeah, I think she's a Dallas cowboy cheerleader. I think she was.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh,
that really shout ruins out. It for shout me. Out.
Don't tell me that.
Oh, really? Just that?
Yeah. Ew.
No, jeez. I love it. It's good stuff.
So, Root and Shaw was special. Because it wasn't originally a part of the story, or it wasn't the plan for the plot, right? Like, it wasn't supposed to be a thing, but the chemistry was so hard from jump, right? Like, immediately, like, yeah, it's... And then Amy Acker is the other person. She's Root. And in this show, I think... I haven't seen her in a whole lot of stuff, but in this show, you really get to see how good she is at acting. Even her voice changes, you know, like when it has to, like in the perfect way. She's a really yep. good actress, and together they literally like killed it, because the natural interest in each other comes off really perfectly. They have very few scenes together. Like if you compile it all together, it's not that much in 4 seasons that they're in together, and like the entire scenes are always to do with the plot, like, you know, who needs to be killed, who needs to be saved, who needs to be blah blah blah. So the fact that they're able to slip in within these like 3 seconds here and there, a scene here there, like they absolutely kill it. Like you see the interest, like, and I think I figured out why it's so good when I was rewatching it today.
Why? I want to know.
When they make eye contact, they don't even fucking blink. like when they're talking, shit. They're just like looking at each other and like there's not even like blinking, like they're just like, it's like you know, like when Harry Potter and like Voldemort, like their wands like are connected and you can't disconnect. That's their eyesight.
What? You made it? Yeah, okay, I love it. That's a good one. I'm dead.
It's good though. And then like the first several episodes and scenes in which they're in together, they're literally trying to like kill each other, torture each other, shoot each other. Like they're and I love an enemies to friends, like to lovers plot line. So it's it's amazing, and I like it even more because Sarah Shahi's character has this like condition where her emotions and feelings are really dulled down to where she doesn't really like care very much about people. She's kind of like apathetic, and somehow this person like, you know, makes her feel some stuff, which is kind of cool.
I love Root's character just because like to pull off that kind of personality and for her to be able to switch from like really playful, really sarcastic to like I'm a badass.
Yeah,
like, and I just and for it to be on one of the most conservative networks that's like actively pro cop, you know, like for them to be like so anti-establishment and so like gay, like I used to watch that show just because I thought my, like, you know, you're a kid, you watch it with your family. And so my mom loved that show, and then I started getting gay, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to dip out here.
I mean,
like,
you weren't you weren't a kid because this thing came out at 2013, girl, or something like that, no?
When did Empire come out? Well, maybe I wasn't a kid, but I wasn't out. I wasn't out, so I was like, I'm dipping.
It's definitely a 2010s show. Like, we had graduated high school.
Very much in the closet to my family, so I was like, oh, I'm dipping out of this gay shit. I felt like a kid.
It wasn't supposed to be gay, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they really, there's maybe only like two episodes in the entire thing where it's like, actually gay. Like, it's like you see stuff happen, you know? And the rest of it, it's all like in the context, but it's some really good context.
I mean, I just saw Sarah Shahi and I was like, this is too much for me. Like, every time I see her, I'm like, L word, I have to dip. I was like, bye, not doing this. And then, yeah, I got gay and I was like, my parents are still watching this. Like, I don't know how I feel. But,
it's so funny.
It's such a good show. I mean, I actually like the show within it, like, by itself.
Yeah, by itself. I still the gay, actually like, you know? It. Well, I mean, I guess I still do, but, you know. I'm not going to go back and rewatch the show. I'm just going to watch them.
Yeah, there's no... that's too many seasons of white men doing things. Like, I'm good. I'm past that. No. It's a phase in my life.
Yeah.
But yeah. So they're your favorite ship?
Not my favorite, but it's like... It comes in hot in this particular category of what we're doing for this episode because it's shows that are literally... Or, yeah, it's ships that are in shows where they're buried deep in there. To where they're not the focus, they're not the most important thing, they have very little screen time, but it's like, damn, is it worth it, you know? And I think Person of Interest comes in hot there. What?
That's what, I mean, that's how the OC made me feel for at least 5 episodes.
I've never seen the OC. You have to explain yourself.
Oof. Okay, dude. I was actually in middle school when this came out. Okay, and
that I can buy.
Yeah, 2004 was a weirder time in Cynthia's life. So, yes, I was watching the OC. But that's because Misha Barton had already been in, like, gay things before this.
In a what?
Yeah, dude. Once and Again on ABC, she was, like, straight up a lesbian in love with Evan Rachel Wood.
Okay.
I was mad young. I think I was, like, 10 when that came out. And I was like, what is this? Ooh. And I also panicked. I had, a gay panic. Yes, I had a what are those gay panic moment and just, like, changed the channel. I was like, I can't watch this. I can't watch this around my family. I'll die. But, yeah, I went back and watched it when I was, like, 16 on YouTube, and it was very good. And then she was also, a side character in Lost and Delirious. Do you remember that terrible lesbian movie?
I remember that terrible lesbian movie, yeah.
She was like the roommate that didn't say anything, like she didn't snitch them out. Oh. But it was like weird because they were like getting down and she was in the room. But yeah, it was she was in that. So shout out to the OC, because 2004 was a very strange conservative George Bush era time. So like,
yeah,
for them to like give us gay and for it to be natural, because I've been rewatching the OC just for my nostalgia purposes, because I want to hear like Death Cab for Cutie. you know, in like a non weird post hipster way. Like, I just want to listen to it like in 2004, you know. So I'm watching the OC and all of a sudden I see Olivia Wilde. She plays Alex.
Olivia. Oh, Olivia. That's not the song, but
there could be like a separate episode where we talk about just her, or maybe this is the one we just talk about her. We talk about just Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, we talked about Booksmart and Butter. She's in book or has involvement in both of those. But we're gonna talk about her again today, so
because she's been gay and everything. Like, so she she is a queen, and like, so her and Misha Barton. And Olivia Wilde.
You're gonna have to link us characters. These YouTube compilations, because I need all of the ones that you've mentioned in the past 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those are really good. I'll send them to you.
Okay. No, you're not gonna send them to me. You put them in the links so that we can all watch together.
We can watch it together as a family, as a gay family,
as a gay CYC family.
Watch white girls be gay. But anyways, shout out to it, though. It really was very changed my life. Anyways, so in the OC, what's strange about this show is that like they kind of showed it, they kind of had to dismiss it towards the end because I think they didn't know what they were doing with it, or maybe they did it for ratings. But right when they introduced Olivia Wilde's character Alex, she was dating one of the dudes, one of the other dude lead characters, and then it somehow shifted very naturally into her dating Marissa on the show. And it didn't feel like a forced thing. It didn't feel weird and rapey, and it didn't feel like my only issue with it, of course, as per usual, is that Olivia Wilde's character was 21 and Marissa's character I think was like 17, and that was my problem with that. I was like, that's still weird.
That's illegal.
That's illegal. Let's not normalize that. I don't care if it's between two women and one of them is super, super hot.
And they're probably age appropriate in real life, but still.
They were. Yeah, I think Misha Barton was like 18 by that point, and I think Olivia Wilde was like 21, which honestly, they're both of age at least. But it was a natural progression in the show, and what I liked is that they had like this really playful energy that didn't feel creepy. Yeah, they had a lot of, like, you know, 2004 jokes about lesbians, like, can I watch? But not too many of them, because Olivia Wilde's character was a badass. And she was, like, an assistant manager at this bar concert venue. And that's how she met Marissa's character. And they kind of... It's like they didn't want to push them being in love. But I feel like they had so much, like, natural chemistry there. And they kind of had to dismiss it because it was still 2004, right? So I feel like they kind of just found a way to write Olivia Wilde's character out of the show, but for like 5 episodes I was so happy, because when I was like 14, you know, I don't think I'd seen much, and this is one of my favorite shows, and for it to surprise me with gay, I had to like confront a lot about myself. And I feel like this show was one of my many awakenings, right? So shout out to the OC and these two characters that weren't given the correct spotlight, that were kind of like made to be like a gimmick a little bit, but I'm not mad at it because it made me very happy for 5 episodes. So shout out to the show. But they did do her dirty right at the end, but
that's pretty huge.
What can you do in 2004, dude? What
is the OC theme song?
Do 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 do. California, oh, here shit. We come.
California. All right, another one for another win for the Canadians here. It's not, you know, this is about a cop. It's about the police, but it's in Canada, so does it count?
Are they even really cops?
Does it count?
Do they have guns?
No, I don't know. Is it still ACAB? I guess.
It's like, yeah, it's still ACAB.
It's MC in Canada. It's MCAB. Most cops are bad.
Yeah. Oh wow.
MCAB. You know, like tip your hat. Okay. Anyways, I watched Rookie Blue a long time ago. All right, this was before I got, you know, as anti-cop as I am now. Anyways, I was stoked to find this show because I just watched it because I wanted to watch a show, you know, and it had a Missy Peregrine in it. Is that how you say your name? I don't know. Homegirl from Karate Kid. And so I wanted to watch it, and I started it. And there was this really, really mean girl character, you know, a blonde girl who isn't friendly, who's rough around the edges. Her name was Gail. And she went a little curly on the sexuality towards, like, fucking season four, dude. Like, I remember I was pretty into the show. I was binging it. And I remember I got to, like, up until then, I was just happy to watch the show because I liked it. And then I got to season four. And, you know, Gail's storyline gets real interesting. And I remember thinking, like, after that, because I think it wasn't, like, completely out yet. I was like, I don't care about the rest of the characters anymore. I don't care about the plot. I don't give a shit about anybody any fucking more. All I want to see is Gail. And so in a way, the gay storyline ruined the show for me. Mm. But I really, really like that storyline.
Wait, how did it ruin the show for you? You just stopped caring?
Because I didn't care about the rest of the show anymore. I just, that's all I wanted to, I only wanted to see their love story at that point, you know?
Ah, yes, the shipping began.
So, yeah, there's her, the whole thing between Gail and someone named Holly is that she's like, this, she's going through a rough patch and she's decided, like, I want a friend in my life who is a girl, and then, like, you know, that becomes a girlfriend. So that's great. I was obsessed with this shit. But what it reminded me of when I was rewatching it today is that, like, back then, before they were throwing, like, a token gay into fucking everything like they do now, they hit different because they were so rare, and because the writers knew, they're like, we're not going to be able to give them a lot of screen time. They're not going to get full fleshed out stories like the straights do. So they knew they had to cram in, like, so much emotion, so much character development into these, like, small little lines, you know?
Yes. And, like,
so they were super creative about it, and they just fucking hit different. Like, I literally looked it up. I think they maybe had 15 minutes of screen time in the entirety of all of season four. And
seen all 15 minutes.
Like, it's like, I go back to it all the time. I think about it, you know, like, as far as, like, the kind of lesbian tropes on TV that kind of happen, or the coming outs on TV between women. I'm like, this was like, you know, a really good groundwork for it. Like, if you're gonna do it like this, I don't know.
Yeah, no, dude, I still remember the show only because of their scenes. Like, what were they in, like, a coat closet at a party?
Yeah, they go into a they go to a party together, I think, and they end up just hanging out in, like, the coat check room.
Yes.
For the rest of the night. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, those small scenes that I'm sure all together in that episode, maybe they had,
like,
3 minutes.
A minute thirty. Like.
I remember all minute 30 of it. Like, I'm like, no, to this day, I'm like, yeah, they were in the, you know, party and the kiss.
I was watching a compilation and I was like halfway through with it, and I was like, they missed a scene. They missed the coat room scene.
Yes.
So I went and I looked up the coat room scene, and I was like, damn, it's been years. And I remember that. Like, do you know how, like, quality that is? Like, or maybe I was just thirsty, I don't know.
No, the gays were eating off of crumbs, like, really, like, actual
snacking,
crumbs,
like,
starving, picking.
Yeah.
Dude, like, I don't know how we,
legends,
all of us, we had to be, there was nothing else there. Like, how were we living? God. Dude, you know, this,
I don't know,
this reminds me, dude, it's just going back on memory lane. What year was that? It was pre-gay,
so it
shit,
started,
right?
This one started in 2013, and it was season four, so it was probably, like, 2016, 17. No, that's too late.
No, it had to be, like, 2015. I feel like it had to be 2015 at the latest.
At the latest. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Something like that.
That's so crazy. Another show that my mom watched about cops.
God, your mom? When did you start going to her for recommendations, dude? Like, what?
Mom, if you're listening to this, it's all fun and games, but you know you did watch that show. Anyways,
send us links, bro.
Nah.
But send us an email at cycpodcastmail@gmail.com, man. Like, I need ideas.
Show us, okay. Tell us all the things you watched, Mom. No, anyways. Yeah. You know what this reminds me of, though? Like, I think you have this on your list, though, so I don't want to ruin that for you.
No, go ahead.
Cool, we can both talk about it. So, this makes me think of way back, of The Good Wife.
The Good Wife.
Kalinda the and Good Jenna. Wife,
dude. That should have been on this list.
Agent Lana Delaney.
Dude. That was good shit.
We feasted on that show. That was like...
Yes. What was it? And that was a show that was actually really good.
Very well-written show. Another one of my mom and dad's favorites. Because I'm thinking about...
Oh, my God, your parents.
Dude, CBS in the early, like, 2000s was, like, the gayest shit.
20-episode, like, 100 bajillion seasons. Like, there's so much fucking to watch. Like, if you need to binge for, like, a month, The Good Wife.
Probably longer, honestly. Like, oh, my God.
Like, how... It's so sad, like... In The Good Wife, she's this, there's this ship, and there's this character who's queer, and, like, she is supposed to be a side character, not that important, and she doesn't even last the whole way through, and it's still a better quality storyline and plot than The Good Fight, which has an actual main lesbian character, and I was so bored by it.
Whoa. Well, I mean, Kalinda was so angsty, like, y'all don't...
She's so mysterious, you know?
Y'all don't understand, like, Southeast Asian lesbian queer representation, because Kalinda didn't adhere to a section. She's just queer, you know? And I really...
She just did her thing.
She didn't, you know, rely on labels, and it's, like, very, like... Wow, you know, of 2012, you know, that's a whole different kind of vibe.
It hits different, dude. Like, back then, honestly, though, like, sexuality and a lot of the things that we're talking about, like, sexuality was meant to be this thing that made this character extra edgy, you know? Yeah. It's like, make her a little gay, and that's just like, that's next level. But it fucking worked. It was like the best, like, not queer baiting, because it was really queer.
It's
but,
really queer, know, like, and their scenes, like, top notch, y'all. Like, the chemistry between these two characters, like, I can't even describe it. It was just off the charts. I was really shocked because it was very, very gay, and my parents were watching it, and my mom would explain Kalinda to me, and I'd be like, yeah, that sounds cool. I'm very deeply in the closet, Mom.
I
have to go.
To have your mom explain Kalinda to me.
Dude, it was awkward, because I was, like, in the closet, and she's like, oh, yeah, you know, sometimes, a veces ella está con mujeres, y a veces está con hombres, pero no importa ella. And I'm like, oh, Mom. Like, it was a lot, dude. I was just like, yo, my mom is, like, explaining bisexuality to me, and I have to walk away. Like, this is too much.
She's like, sexuality is a spectrum, Cynthia. You don't understand.
Bro, she was schooling me, and I was like, I'm uncomfortable.
She's like, ma'am, it's fluid. It's fluidity.
Yeah, you know, she's like, get it right. No importa, ella nomás hace lo que ella quiere. And I'm like, oh, my God, Mom. I just, you're a little bit too woke for me in 2012. I have to walk away from you. But, so dude, their scenes, like, go back just to watch Kalinda and Agent Lana Delaney do anything. And you're there. She really changed that show. And I wish her career had taken off more after this.
I know.
Show she deserves.
I think I've only seen her, like, maybe once in something, and just never anything big, you know?
She deserves. She's a very, very good actress, like, to be all of that, you know? Because she was, like, this fixer, this badass character that wasn't... she kind of adhered to no rules when it came to anything. You know, not just her sexuality, just in anything that she did. She was a badass, a super spy who was dating an FBI. Well, not even dating. That's, like, a strong term for her. She was just banging an FBI agent to get information out of her also at the same time.
But also, it was kind of like
caught
real,
feelings.
You know?
She caught feelings, you know? even players, you know, start to, you know... Sometimes players do love you when they're playing, you know? Okay, dreams.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a bad joke.
Come on, Fleetwood.
Yes. That was my Fleetwood Mac moment. But yeah, still, nice. Shout out to The Good Wife. And this is the only... That was a good show, but, like, once I heard of Kalinda, I was like, I'm done with the show. like you said, the whole show got ruined for me. I only cared about her after that. So when she left the show, I did too. I was like, goodbye. I don't care. So
I think I actually finished it. I was pretty into that show.
It was very well written. I'm not going to hate on that. You did what you had to. Yeah. You know, you finished your storylines. I was like, I'm here for
Clinda. I love a procedural, man. Mm. I just, you know, let's solve that issue of the day.
It feels good, right? Like, it you feel accomplished even though you didn't do anything, you know?
You're like, oh, thank God.
They caught the bad guy. Oh, thank God. That mess got cleaned up. I can go to sleep. You know, like, that's how it feels. But yeah. Oh man, this show.
Just, to me, it was just so comforting that there were so many episodes. I was like, this won't abandon me, you know, like back in the day when you were extra insecure.
Bruh, that I feel that. That's how I feel about girlfriends. I have not stopped. I don't watch anything else. I'm just hanging out with my friends, you know, like Joan, Tony, Maya, and Lynn. They're my girlfriends. They're my homies, you know, but I feel you. They're really my friends. They just don't know it, but it's fine. Anyways,
all right, that's how people like listening to podcasts feel. They're like, oh, I know, right? It's like we're on the other side of the world, buddy.
Y'all are our friends though. I fuck with y'all for real though,
like, yeah, that's true. We're actually friends.
We actually we fuck with y'all, so that's not just something we say. So but yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, yeah. Sorry,
next on the list. Mm-hmm. So speaking of God, what was it? What was it reminded me? There was some connection that I had made, and I forgot what it was. So I no longer have a good segue. Anyways, Orphan Black is next.
Yes, yes.
Cosima and Delphine.
Wow,
the iconic, and that wasn't the only ship there. Like there was some, you know, Cosima in general, just by herself. Fucking wow.
Wow, dreamy woman, dreamy woman. Mm-hmm. Wow,
it starts out. As this like French straight girl who Cosima suspects is like planted to spy on her, and she's like, because why else would this hot girl be everywhere all of a sudden, you know?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, so their relationship is like, it's kind of a lot, right? I think I really like the beginning and how it starts a lot, because I'm like, this is interesting, right? Like this like, will they, won't they, this like, I know that I shouldn't, but like I'm tempted anyways. I don't know. It was a really good start.
Very well written.
The whole show. The thing. This is backwards from everything else that I've been talking about. I think I like this show, like more than I cared more about like the show in general than I did about the ship in this particular case. Yeah, because I really like this show. Tatiana Maslany plays yep. Cosima, she plays Sarah, she plays
everyone.
Allison. She plays so many characters in this, and every single time I'm like, that's the same person. Oh, right.
Like
I have to remind myself.
Yeah, like you forget that it's the same person, because they're completely different in a lot, all of the ways. So
the way that they speak, the way that they walk, everything. How I don't know. And you know what was kind of unfortunate is that Miss Cosima thought she was a real badass, and she had dreads.
Doesn't
make any sense.
A white girl with she's dreads.
A scientist who loves weed, so she has to have dreads. Okay.
Yeah, that wasn't very creative of the writers, but hey, she acted her ass off.
Very unfortunate. Yeah. I think like, I don't know. They were just maybe one. It really did make her stand out from the other clones. And then two, they're really like, I do remember like back in the day, white girls that wanted to be really edgy and different would have dreads, you know, like that was their thing. They're like, oh, I'm not like other white girls. I don't wash my hair. Like, I don't know.
They're like, I care about the earth. I have dreads. Like, what? No, those two things don't have to be like that.
Yeah, if Cosima was like around today on TV, she'd probably have a whole speech about like, that was wrong of me.
She'd get dragged and she'd stop having a hair like that. She would just
figure it out. She's a smart.
She would be smarter. Right? Like, she wouldn't do that. She'd wash her hair.
Yeah, and just she'd figure it out.
But I mean, it made sense for the character just because of the way the character was set up. So But now, yeah, you can't do that one again.
Now it's like a no.
Like, please don't. But yeah,
I don't know. It was like also the early 2010s or mid 2010s, mm-hmm. when like I said, like all we had all these other shows where we only got scraps of gay, But in this show, Cosima really was like a main character, right? She wasn't like the number one.
Yeah.
But she was like one of three, right? Like super main characters. And like that was really cool because she was like going around lesbianing it up. She has those iconic lines in it that like are still memes today. Like there's the one where she's like, as a lesbian supporter. Because she forgets that she's not a lesbian at that moment. Yeah.
As a lesbian supporter. Yes, that one's supporter. Like such an OG one. I didn't know that was.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
And then one of my favorite lines from, I think, just for the first couple episodes, where one of the other clones like is like, oh, so you're gay, you know, like that's an interesting thing to her. And she's like, my sexuality is not the most interesting thing about
me. Yes, bitch, you know? Yes.
So it's just like some really cool parts of this character, I gotta say.
I agree with you. The beginning of their story was a lot. It was just like really cute and fuzzy in comparison to like what they did once they got together. It was like really dark and it got serious and it got all crazy. And it was like, I just wanted cute. Like, I just wanted two people.
They're not going to give you that.
To fall in love and it to be over after that. But no. But I mean, shout out to Delphine because she has curly hair. And that is like a weakness personally for me. So it was such a great show just because of that beginning, you know, that mystery of each other, like them, you know, it just, you don't know if they're gonna happen or not, and you're just watching it and it's so involved and you're so involved. And Cosima and Delphine were like a whole moment on Tumblr. It was a thing. And that's just like memory lane to me now. I'm just like, wow, like 2014, 2015 was a different time. Like, it's cute nostalgia. So, I don't know. They might be.
French girls didn't really used to do it for me until
Delphine.
Until Adele.
Oh yeah, that's her real name.
In Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Even back then, I was like, Delphine's okay, I guess. I was way more into Cosima.
Oh shit, really? I mean, just because of the curly hair. I don't know. But Tatiana Maslany personally is a fave in everything. She's beautiful and she's very, very, very talented. So,
you know, it's weird watching this show and being like, oh, Cosima is great. Sarah can get it. Not Allison, though. And then it's like, it's all the same person.
But that's her talent.
Like, that's how good she plays it, that you're, like, not attracted to some of her characters, but very attracted to others. Like, I don't know. It just goes to show, you know, it's about what's on the inside.
No, it is. And dude, just like the way that they said that she had to act in that series, that she had that stand-in that would play her just by standing there, that she had to act too.
Yeah.
Like, just like, what? Like,
when her two characters at some like have to like be in the same room or hug each other or something, it's always so awkward.
Yes.
But like, it works. They make it work.
They made it work. And she, wow. They really snubbed her. And I hope she gets everything because she deserves it. She's so talented. But yeah, Cosima and Delphine, yes. Love it. Mm-hmm. Such a great, great ship in my entire, like,
yeah.
Mwah. Chef's kiss.
Life.
It was a different time, y'all. Y'all don't understand because y'all have it. It's all there for you to pick and choose from. But when we was growing up.
I mean, but you know what? But we had quality.
In those 5 minutes, y'all.
We had quality.
Those 5 minutes. We lived. In a way that y'all don't know.
We thrived. Should we end this talking about Madame Wild, perhaps?
We should.
Yeah, so House, I started watching probably for the same reason that I watch everything. It's just, you know.
Procedural.
I just want to watch something that's going to last a long time. And I mean, I think with this one, I did know ahead of time that there was a queer character. And I also knew that it wasn't going to happen right off the bat. And it didn't. I think it took, like, several seasons for us to get this character. As it is in a couple of these other series that we talked about. But there's not really a specific ship. But Olivia Wilde playing gay is always
looking
amazing.
It's like air. It's like breathing.
Yeah, exactly. She's another incredibly mysterious bisexual as... You know, it was the trope back then. She's like a mysterious doctor named 13. And she has a real name, but like 13 was a nickname given to her and she just keeps it, which is kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
I wish my name was a number.
Three?
And you see... No, that's not good enough.
Those is kind of cool.
There's a lot of people that she dates in this. And yeah, it was just cool. I just like her character, I think. I don't know.
Watching Olivia Wilde be gay again, queer again, in anything, is we're going to watch. We're going to be there. She's just done so much for us. She's fed us for so many years. It's been, what, 10 years of feeding us? Maybe, no, longer, 2004.
Longer.
So, Lord.
16 years or something.
Yeah, like,
that's... Honestly, after Booksmart, she just, like, reached a new level of goddess for me that I just couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, she's not just, you know, the fact that she came up from, like, the OC to directing movies now, it just, I'm amazed, honestly, at her career and what she's been able to do with it. It's impressive. Shout out to a white girl who's doing some shit. Like, shout out to her. I'm acknowledging her privilege, 13. But
13 forever.
But you know,
if I ever get one of those Friday the 13th tattoos, it's just know it's about her.
Oh, okay, Olivia Wilde stan. All right, you should get a 13. I have a 28. Let's do it. Numbers game.
Get it on my neck.
No, oh Lord. You're gonna get the word 13 on your neck. Yeah, I see it. Just don't drive around certain places at night. You'll be fine. Just, you know, it's a little scary, but you'll be okay.
Okay. They'll be scared of me though in that case. No,
gang, they'll be scared of you. A light skinned Latina with 13 on her neck. Yeah, scary.
With like the nerdiest glasses.
I like your glasses. They look cool.
Thanks.
But yeah, maybe.
I think that's it for me.
I had one more, but we're running kind of late. And
yeah, I had one more too, but I don't even want to do it anymore. Yeah. I got too excited about the rest of them.
We did some good ones, you know.
Yeah, these are good. These are some good shit. Like right now, that you guys have nothing to do. If you want something that's just there on the background to watch,
you
want
to catch up on
and then you like see Olivia Wilde on screen. And you're like, oh shit, let me pay attention right now. Yeah, like that's how it is.
Yeah, if you guys want to take a trip down repressed pre 2015 fucking gay media, then this is all we had, y'all. So just living it with us. This is what we had. Y'all can go through it.
Just like this is before CYC could be a thing because there wasn't enough shit out there.
Literally nothing.
This is what we did.
We starved.
Dig for gold. In really, really long TV shows.
Really like, worked for it, okay, y'all? Like, we wasn't out here like y'all.
The effort.
So much. That's why I got into, like, art house, because that was the only place having and some gay people in it. So here I am. Now I'm a super, like, film person just because of that, because it's gay people.
Ugh. Nice.
Yeah.
Representation, y'all.
Yep. Matters. Okay.
Well, I think we have maybe a couple of minutes to do some Patreon shout-outs, if you're down.
I'm down. All right, y'all. So we just want to do a couple of Patreon shout outs. So shout out to Concha Gang. Shout out to Luna. Shout out Valerie. Shout out Kiki's. Oh, that's a cool name. Kiki's, like, that's a lit ass name. Shout out Michelle. Shout out Heather. Shout out Rosaura. Was good. Shout out Veto, our brother. Shout out Chrissy Chopping Wood. Thank you so much for the, what are they called? Fuck, I already forgot what they're called.
The pins.
Thank you so much. Shout out Aaron.
And the cufflinks.
Cufflinks. Yes, that's what they're called. I was like, the things that go on the thing. Yeah, I'm lost. It's late, y'all. Sorry. Thanks so much, Chrissy. Shout out Aaron. Aaron, I miss you. We need to hang out in 2022. I don't know when, or maybe 2021. I don't know what's happening right now. Shout out Erica. Shout out my baby mama Glow. Shout out, baby mama. She's over there with my child. Shout out, Mari Mad. What's good, girl? I saw you got those bad bunny Crocs.
No, she didn't.
Yes, nice. She did. I'm so jealous. Shout out, Rassi. I love you. He got his own podcast, Shit You Don't Care About, where they talk about shit where you don't care about. But it's cool. I like it. You can catch them on Spotify, on iTunes, on anything. They even got a YouTube channel. You can watch them. I miss him, so I've been watching him on YouTube. So it makes me happy. So yeah, shout out, Concha Gang. I love y'all. Keep supporting. Tell your friends. Tell your mama's friends. Tell your tias. Tell your tias' friends. Tell everybody. If they're homophobic, tell them to give us money to shut up. We'll take it. But yeah, thank y'all. Bye.
All right, guys, and then Cafecito gang. We got Sandra, brand spanking new up in here. Thank you for supporting. I hope you enjoy the episodes. Favi Fav from Latinos Who Lunch, aka my padrino, and Baby Dojonero, which I'm not sure if I'm saying your name right, but thank you. Thank you, Zulema. That's a new one too. Welcome, Edith. More a little more old school. She's been around for a while. What's good? R, who's Arcoiris gang. What is good, Laura? You gotta choose a level so you can enjoy some of these benefits. Madi, thanks for supporting. You really can't, you don't have to. You know, we're like homies. Like, you don't have to do this. It's fine. Mireya, thank you for supporting. I saw that you got your stickers. I'm stoked on that. Of course, Noel, best person in the entire universe. Doing book reviews like hard. You should like do it on. Are you doing it on TikTok? You should do it on TikTok.
Some of those people get, TikTok like, would be clout. Really good. She should.
Yeah,
she should.
I follow one or two. And Alicia, last but not least, coming in from Australia, and I'm so appreciative of all of you guys for helping us out, especially right now. That's so dope.
Oh fuck yeah! Especially right now, everyone's going through it right now together. So. Y'all were the best, honestly, and I'm gonna get emotional. I love you guys. Anyways,
if you guys want to get our extra monthly episodes on Patreon, that's patreon.com/CUSC podcast. It's also a link in our description, and it's on our website, cabronesychingonas.com, as well as where other links will be up. Maybe a little bit late because we're recording mad late today, last minute. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode because we are. Struggling.
We really worked for this, y'all. We really worked for this.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys. Bye.
Bye.